paramedic here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Tuesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. And we are pleased to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and bring in our friend Nicole Auerbach from The Athletic. Nicole, what's going on? How you doing?
Hey, just hanging in there. I'm in Chicago, and we are under a stay-at-home advisory. Ah. So trying to mentally process that and then figure out how to get through the winter.
Well, Nicole, before we get started, and we're going to get hot and heavy into some COVID news in college football, but I do have to say, this is the first time we've had you on the show since the time change here in our country, and we are very much proponents of dad jokes here on this show, and I have to say the dad joke from your father and the text message you shared about the hour back of your last name and the
holiday,
hour back that we moved, the holiday that it is for your family, I laughed for a good 35 minutes. So thank you for sharing that with us.
You're welcome. Now, just when it gets really dark at 4:30, just don't blame us, but you know, we get our one day, our holiday, the jokes in, but then when it gets dark, you got to disassociate that with the good.
I totally missed this. When was this?
When the time changed and you moved the clock an hour back.
Day,
yeah.
You get an extra hour. It's an hour back holiday.
Get an hour back. Holiday. Okay. I like it.
Yeah. It's very good.
It is very good.
That is near the top of the list.
Ultimate dad joke.
That's an outstanding. That's a Hall of Fame dad joke.
It really is. It's very good. Nicole, obviously COVID cases and contact tracing running rampant through college football and really our country as a whole right now. What sort of an impact could this have on maybe the schedule moving forward and specifically maybe with the college football playoff?
Well, I mean, I think we're just going to have to brace for the next 4 or 5 weeks what we're going through right now, where there's a lot of cancellations, a lot of postponements. I think you're going to see in some of these leagues that had – you know, that have that open date. People are going to have to prioritize the games that you want to get in that have to do with divisional races over, you know, just whatever got canceled early in the season that you said you could make up on December 12th, right? I think you're going to have to prioritize. But, you know, I just think everyone's focused on that December 19th finish line. And, you know, we're already enduring and playing through disruptions. And, you know, it's not that far off. The one thing I keep trying to harp on people, you know, based on conversations is there's no reason and there's no momentum for, you know, expanding or lengthening the regular season to get a couple more regular season games in. People keep saying that because they see these cancellations or, you know, you see it in the Pac-12 and, you know, they're not going to get that many games in the first place. But there's no benefit to adding weeks and adding regular season games to get them in. The point here is to get the playoff, crown a champion, get the CFP money. I mean, this is not about, at this point, you know, everyone's, yes, there's inventory, certain amount of games you're trying to get in, but at this point, you just want to get to the finish line. So there's no real benefit in extending a couple weeks to try to get Alabama from 9 games to 10. It's not going to make a difference. And, you know, COVID, the outbreaks are so bad everywhere. It's not going to get better. It's not like February is going to be better than January in terms of a pandemic and the winter. So really, I think when you think about what adjustments there could be for the CFP, I think the way to think about it is, okay, when they have their four teams set, if there's an outbreak on one of those teams, then they'll adjust. But they're not going to voluntarily push everything back a month just to get in some regular season games.
So in terms of – because, first of all, like there's going to be, obviously, a different number of games. We already knew that, even if everyone was able to get in every game. But let's say it's – you know, the Big Ten, obviously, it's a higher standard. It's possible that, you know, some more of these games could be lost. Like, let's say Ohio State has a really low number of games, but they look exactly – like, I guess the question is there any I guess, bar that's you come in below it and the committee looks at you in a different way? Or is it just like, well, that's Ohio State? I mean, frankly, I hope they look at them and say, well, it's Ohio State and we all want to watch them in the playoff. But do you think that, you know, if the argument from like the SEC is, well, we played 10 games and you played four, like, how is that fair? Do you think
right.
there's any factor at all, any discussion at all in that room along those lines?
Well, I mean, yes. You know, I had thought, and to my knowledge to this point, they haven't set a minimum. You know, there were conversations or examples being thrown around of like, okay, well, what if, you know, you have to play six games to qualify for a New Year's Six game or the playoff or whatever it is. But I think, you know, at this point, you know, I do think when you have, you know, human on a selection committee, you can just say to them, evaluate, right? Like, you figure out, you know, how strong a different resume is, what your personal comfort level is, and what you've seen from these teams, because, you know, that's kind of why you have, you know, a subjective selection committee. And I think, you know, honestly, like, if they could say tomorrow, they could say, okay, here are, you're going to take Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State, and then you pick the fourth spot. Like, honestly, that's probably not going to change that much, like, for as difficult as the fourth spot's going to end up being. So, again, I've always said, you know, you just kind of need to be in the same ballpark as everyone else if you're, you know, Ohio State or the Big Ten champ, if it's not them. Shout out to Indiana. I just think that, like, ultimately, if you're in the same ballpark, you're okay. You know, because, again, we're all going to get used to it. Everyone's so caught up on the amount of games everyone's played. But everyone needs to kind of just stop thinking about it that way and just think about, you know, as long as you're in the same ballpark as each other, then you just evaluate as you normally would. It's more subjective than ever this year, but I think all of us understand and have a really good grasp of, we know there's three teams that are going to be in this thing unless something crazy happens. So, again, as long as they get in the same ballpark, the selection committee is probably going to see it the same way we do.
Nicole Auerbach from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Nicole, what's been more surprising in the Big Ten to you? How good Indiana has been or how bad Michigan has been?
Oh, probably how bad Michigan has been, and Penn State, too, because, you know, we're not used to seeing those two programs combined for one win, you know, this many weeks into a season. But, you know, Indiana, I think you saw all the signs of growth and momentum from last season. You knew that a lot of those young, talented guys were coming back. You could see the confidence growing. You knew that they were really close to getting one of those wins over a Big Ten East team, which obviously now they have a bunch. But I think the Michigan question, especially, there was so much, you know, energy around Joe Milton, you know, in camp and him winning the job and Dylan McCaffrey leaving. And then, you know, you see week one. I honestly blame Minnesota for a lot of this because I don't think anyone
right.
expected such a drop-off from them. So that really, you know, just messed with our calibration of what we thought Michigan was. So you know, I just think, you know, at this point you're seeing them hit new lows. And I've been saying this all week, but, like, I covered the Rich Rod era at Michigan. That was when I was a student. There were a lot of historic lows during that stretch. And to see new ones reached with Jim Harbaugh, the white whale that this fan base had always wanted to coach, like, that is what is incredibly jarring this far into his tenure.
So was he the coach at Michigan in 2021?
Well, I don't think so. You know, it feels like the end. It feels like there's no other way out here, but it's going to have to be massaged. I mean, you're going to have to figure out a way to say, like, hey, nudge, nudge, we're not going to extend you, and obviously your contract's supposed to be up next year. Hey, why don't we look for a parachute in the NFL? You know, like, it's going to have to be a civil, peaceful departure. Like, it's not a normal, you know, I was comparing this to, like, Tom Herman in Texas, right, where that's just normal, right? If you make a coaching change and you just fire someone and you pay their buyout, it's not like that at Michigan when it's someone like this, like, that you've kind of put all your eggs in the basket. It's your dream hire and it didn't work. You got to finesse it. And so if that can be done, I think Michigan absolutely has to do that. You know, the fan base is so just, it's not even like angry anymore. It's just so deflated. And it's just so, you know, we're just, you know, why do I even watch this on Saturdays, right? That's the worst part, worst phase of a fan base when you're going through something where you know you need to make a change, when the energy is just not there. You're not even, can't even get yourself worked up enough to be angry and disappointed in a loss like Saturdays.
Well, and then one thing, it's funny because I was thinking about this, and you've been in that stadium many times, Nicole. Like, what? It's a good year, you know, for no fans in that stadium in terms of that performance. Yeah. That would have been like record-breaking boos, right, in that place.
Yes. Yeah, it would have. And again, I was there during the Rich Rod tenure, and there were a lot of home crowd boos during that era. And, you know, it is kind of crazy that, you know, you think about that dynamic and the optics and challenge, and, you know, there was the cardboard cutout of the, you know, of the surrender cobra and the, you know, at the end of the Michigan State game a couple years ago where, you know, just that all-timer. First of all, I need to know who paid for that. $75 to get those cardboard cutouts. Amazing.
It's
I don't know if it was a Michigan State fan. Probably was a Michigan fan. Like, again, they're so over this. But that's all you could cut to. You know, like, right. It was like, okay, two interceptions. We can cut to this cardboard cutout. But yeah, it absolutely would have been just cascading boos at halftime, at the end of the game. I mean, it would have been exactly what we're talking about, but, you know, we are missing that, just that one dynamic, which always, again, tells you a lot about, you know, a coach and their trajectory when your home crowd that's paying all money to go to these games is booing you.
Nicole Auerbach from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nicole, last thing for you here. It's interesting to kind of evaluate the Heisman race this year. You've got Trevor Lawrence missed a couple games with COVID. Justin Fields and Ohio State just now getting underway a couple weeks ago. Different kind of measurements and different bars that you have to judge for what you want to give the Heisman to. As you evaluate the process, is this going to be the most difficult year you can remember to kind of determine who the Heisman Trophy winner is going to be? And if you had to pick a favorite right now, who would you pick?
Yeah, I do think it's going to be challenging. It's kind of like for the same reason we were talking about earlier with the college football playoff. Like, I think people need to unwire their brains a little bit, because I think, like, in the past, you're like, oh, someone got injured or missed a few games, like, they're out, right? They didn't play the full season. But no one's playing the same amount of games anyway, so, like, you just need to kind of forget about that. Like, there's a reason that Justin Fields immediately became a front runner, right? Like, we knew what we were getting out of him, and then we saw it. I still think, you know, it's probably him. It's probably guys like, you know, you're hoping, you know, Kyle Pitts is healthy. I always love getting guys that aren't quarterbacks into the mix for this award. So, you know, I do think that you've got to get more creative. Like, I really hope that Zach Wilson from BYU is a finalist. Like, there's no reason that he shouldn't be, unless people aren't, you know, comfortable thinking outside of the box or going with someone like that, maybe based on their quality of their opponent, which is outside of his own control. Like, they're lucky they had a season at all. They're an independent. They had to put together whatever schedule they could. So I think people just need to, like, stop thinking about it the same way we always do, which is, you know, okay, the best quarterback on a playoff caliber team. And just think about it like, okay, you know, as long as people played, you know, enough games that, you know, you feel like they played a season, you know, who are the best players? Who are the most talented players in the country? And Trevor Lawrence should be there. Even if he missed a couple of games, he's still going to finish with more games than Justin Fields gets in. Like, you know, you just kind of got to – I've seen people already getting harp, you know, getting caught up on these things. And it's just you got to let that go this year and really just, again, be extra subjective. Like, you know, we're watching football all day on Saturdays. Like, we're good. We don't need to know exactly how many games someone's played and they played one more game than somebody else, like, as a deciding factor. Like, you know, we can figure out who we think the best players in the country are. So that's what I've just been trying to, you know, you know, that's how I feel about it. And I just think other people need to kind of get out of the box of, you know, the best quarterback on a playoff team that's played whatever amount of games that arbitrarily in your head makes it feel fine.
Nicole Auerbach from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Nicole, appreciate you joining us as always. Great stuff.
Absolutely. Talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Thanks, absolutely. That is an interesting point. And she's right. Like, trying to determine the Heisman this year with all the different things going on, like, you're going to have to think outside the box. Like, Justin Fields may end up playing like four games, five games, and I still think he should be a finalist. Maybe he should win it.
Yeah, but I agree with the outside the box stuff too. I'm always looking for people like that. This is maybe a year it would work out, but it's also hard to overcome the talent of those guys who are quarterback in the top teams. It's going to be interesting. I hope they
better have Mac Jones in there.
Oh, believe me, I know.
Mac Jones, Kyle Trask.
He's on there right now, okay?
That's right. When we come back, some interesting news yesterday regarding the college football NCAA, or college football, college basketball NCAA tournament, and maybe a single location for that tournament. We'll discuss that on the other side. But first, Joe, you've got a word from FanDuel.
I do, and as Nicole just said, we're watching football on the weekends. We're good. And if you've been doing that and seeing an ad for FanDuel Sportsbook, you may have said to yourself, is that legal in Tennessee? Well, yes, you bet it is. FanDuel Sportsbook is legal in Tennessee, and you can place your first bet on FanDuel Sportsbook risk-free. You can get up to $1,000 back if you don't win. No strings attached, any bet. If you win, just like any bet you win, you keep the cash. But if you lose, you get the whole bet back up to $1,000 in bonus site credit, so you can take another shot. I'll throw one out there. Throwing out the Vols at Auburn, if you're not afraid of betting on the Vols, you shouldn't be afraid, because even the Vols getting 10 points right now at Auburn, even if they let you down again, you will get your money back. FanDuel Sportsbook, generous risk-free bets, that's only the beginning. They have a simple app. They have live betting on every game. They have game parlays. You can combine multiple bets from one game. You can have all kinds of prop bets within a game. And then when you get you win, you get your winnings in as little as 24 hours. So to claim that risk-free bet, download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, sign up with promo code Joe so they know I sent you. FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code Joe, J-O-E. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable. Expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. And for problem gambling support, call 800-889-9789.
We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.